Today's program has been brought to you by Whole Foods Market, a dynamic leader in the quality food business, a mission-driven company that aims to set the standards of excellence for food retailers. For more information, visit wholefoodsmarket.com. You're listening to heritageradionetwork.org, a nonprofit, member-supported radio station. We're millions strong, with folks tuning in from over 200 countries. We are education. We are entertainment. We are the future of food. May is our membership drive. Become a member and support us while receiving e-newsletters, advanced invites, special discounts, and a membership card. We need your support. Visit our website and click the donate button to become a member today. Thank you for believing in us and enjoy the show.
The James Beard Awards are often called the Oscars of the food world, dishing out fame and fortune to the select group of chefs, restaurateurs, and members of the media deemed worthy of its accolades. The Heritage Radio Network is excited to cover the festivities this year, happening tomorrow, May 3rd, and Monday, May 6th. Joining us for the pre-award scoop is Mitchell Davis, Executive Vice President of the James Beard Foundation and also a host of Heritage Radio's Taste Matters. I'm Mariana Kotlier, and this is a special session of Heritage Radio Network's James Beard Awards coverage. Hi, Mitchell. How are you?
Hi. Good. How are you?
Good. Is your tux ready?
It is. It's at the cleaners right now. I guess it'll be ready tonight.
Great. And how are preparations going for this year's events?
Really well, I have to say. We're practically sold out of both events, the Books, Broadcast, and Journalism Awards tomorrow night, as you mentioned, at Gotham Hall, and the gala sort of black tie event at Avery Fisher Hall on Monday. So we nearly fell out every year, but this year we're going to need a shoehorn to get everybody in, so that's very exciting.
Oh, that's great news. So what does it take to produce the James Beard Awards? I think many people don't realize kind of the size and scope of what an undertaking it is, not only to create the events and the gala, but also to assemble and coordinate your nationwide team of judges who ultimately gets to decide who wins.
Indeed, and I thank you for even asking, because the question rarely comes up. It's a year-long process. I mean, we will literally be meeting Tuesday, the day after the awards, to debrief and lay in the plans for the next year's iteration. We have six different awards subset programs, from the Restaurant and Chef Award to the Book Award to the Restaurant Design Awards, the Achievement Awards, etc. And each of those has its own committee. Some committees oversee large panels of judging, like the Restaurant Awards Committee oversees 400 judges, as you mentioned, nationwide, and multiple balloting process and all that kind of stuff. The Restaurant Design Awards Committee are the judges, but they coordinate the entries and the meeting for the judging. They're the only group that meets in person and judges sort of to consensus. And so each award is administered according to the principles of the industry that they cover. And as you said, it's a year-long process. And that's without taking into account the fact that we're going to, in the course of this weekend, be entertaining probably 3,000 people at various events and venues throughout the weekend throughout New York City. So it's a big deal.
It is. So maybe walk me through one of your event categories. Let's say I wanted to win the Outstanding Chef Award. What does it take to win a James Beard
Award?
Well,
I need a really big check from you. No, goodness. Well, that's an interesting one, because each of the categories has certain criteria, and I think the Outstanding Chef must have been a working chef for 5 or maybe even 10 years. I'm sorry, I don't have it actually in front of me. And there is no way to really lobby. I mean, one of the nice things about the Beard Awards is it's a little bit like the Academy Awards, although of course they're heavily lobbied. But there's no The process is there's an open call for entry. Anyone can submit a name online for a chef they want to consider. That happens mid-October. We get maybe 60,000 people submitting names and giving us alerting us to chefs they think are worthy of an award. Then that list is tabulated, and the top 20 to 30 in each category go on a ballot, and that ballot goes to the first round of judges who are comprised of the journalists and regional winners and all the previous winners of the Beard Awards and restaurant critics and et cetera, about 400 in total. And so to win the Outstanding Chef Award, you can't really do anything except be really good at what you do and get attention for it. You know, the chefs, there seems to be a natural progression sometimes through the awards. Rising Star, which is for a chef under 30, may then go on to win a regional award, say the best chef in the Southeast, and then that eventually in a few years may put the chef into the Outstanding Chef category, which is a national award. And so you can sort of see people move through, and it's a function of their skill and the attention that people give them and really the respect they have for what they're doing among their peers, because ultimately those 400 judges are mostly chefs and journalists who are peers.
That's great. So maybe I would have to start by going to culinary school before I could be an outstanding chef.
Yeah.
So you mentioned lobbying, and I actually wanted to ask you about that because, I mean, it doesn't seem like lobbying is very effective given the structure of the awards, but there must be some people who try to kind of pitch themselves at you in creative ways. Do you have any examples of really fun or funny or embarrassing things that people have done to try to curry your favor?
I don't know if they're embarrassing. I mean, we are often, not often, occasionally we're given, sent a letter that a restaurant or a chef will send out to its clientele to try to get people to vote for them in that open call. And you know, we think there's nothing wrong with that. We happen to be able to trace the IP addresses of all the computers, and so we remove duplicates before we do any tabulating and that kind of thing. So even though, you know, a chef might want his whole family to vote from him from the same computer, that won't happen. But the only thing that is something that we constantly try to dispel and has never been the case is there is a sense out there that if chefs don't cook at the Beard House, they're not eligible for a Beard Award. And the two things are so separated in the structure of the organization. I, for one, cannot vote. No one who is on staff at the Beard Foundation can vote on these awards. So I don't know what, I mean, we would love to have every chef cook at the Beard House. That's true. But Charlie Palmer was famously a chef who never cooked and didn't win, for years and years and then won. I don't think he changed his the number of times he cooked at the house. It just so happens we do 230 events a year, and that's almost every chef over time finds his or her way to the Beard House. But I mean, that's probably the thing that seems most embarrassing, when someone will congratulate me for their winning a Beard Award, and I literally have nothing to do with it. We just want to make sure that the committees do their job and that the thing goes smoothly and that the sort of most ethical and honorable decisions are made in the policies and procedures, and then the voting is up to the judges who vote. That's who ain't us.
Great. And how do you select those judges?
That's one of the functions of the committees. So, as I said, each awards program has a committee, and so the restaurant awards program, it's constantly looking to balance the geography of the representation on the judging panel, and that means, so they'll look for regional restaurant critics and food editors, which are getting honestly harder to find as newspapers and magazines are no longer as robust as they once were. The former winners are always very active. So if you are the best chef in the Pacific Northwest last year, you get to vote this year in that category. And so we've been doing the awards now for 23, I think this is our 23rd year, 24th year. So there's a large pool of winners in each category. That's really it. We're just looking for people who are out there eating and aware of what's going on in the food world.
Great. So after 23 years of these awards, I mean, you have, you know, a pretty robust list of folks who have won an award in the past. What does it mean to a chef or a member of the media to be recognized by the James Beard Foundation? What does it do, you know, for their career, for their business?
It's a great question. At the opening to the segment, I heard you mention fame and fortune. I hope it means fortune, but we don't give any cash awards. We certainly so we are not the purveyors of that fortune. I think it depends where a chef is in his or her career, honestly, what the award means. Obviously, a young chef starting out winning a James Beard Award brings a not just a national but an international spotlight onto that chef. When someone like Danielle Ballou wins Outstanding Restaurant, it's a tremendous honor, and he is as happy to receive it as ever. Whether or not that changes his global dominance in the world of cuisine, I don't believe it has the same impact. But certainly, you know, there are stories of chefs winning a Beard Award in smaller restaurants in other regions and walking in the next day demanding more money or quitting. I mean, we've heard that before.
Oh, wow.
There are very few badges of honor in our industry. The Michelin guides, which are not in every city, have a strong power. I participate in something called the World's 50 Best Restaurants, which is based in London, and that has tremendous impact on a chef, but that's 50 restaurants in the entire world, so there aren't going to be that many on there, you know, from any one place.
Sure.
And the Beard Awards really do bring the media attention to someone's career, someone's body of work. And so, there's a personal sense of recognition, but also a public sense of recognition, and we're really grateful for it. Every time we turn on the TV, you know, and you're watching Top Chef or Chopped or some show, they always mention that someone has a James Beard Award. That's how most people know about us, I think, because there are not other things to say, really, except that, oh, the local critic had a good steak. You know, how are you going to identify someone? And so,
right.
I mean, not to denigrate that local critic's opinion, but it isn't, you know, not, we're in a, the reality is not everyone gets to every restaurant and gets the attention that he or she deserves.
Sure. It's not that same kind of stamp that carries credibility across a national platform.
Exactly.
So, you know, I feel like when people talk about the James Beard Awards, and I certainly find myself feeling this way, we tend to focus on the Chef Awards, but, you know, the media and book component is really important as well. And you mentioned earlier that media critics have been harder to find as, you know, newspapers begin to fold. And has that played into how you've seen both your categories and who fills them evolve over the years on the media side?
Well, it has. Well, we've changed the categories pretty drastically in the last few years. And it's funny, just moments ago, we were talking about how the makeup of the audience this year is probably more different than it's ever been before, and I think it's representative of the phenomenon you're talking about. So a few years ago, we went what they call platform neutral. We used to divide the categories in the Journalism Awards by magazine, newspaper, broadcast media. But of course, that where do the blogs go? And we created a blog award early, but it was soon seemed clear that the writing happening on the, you know, all the great journalists of newspapers that no longer exist are now writing on the internet, so why should they be judged separately?
Right.
So that neutrality and where something appears has really had an impact, I think. And so this year we have Lucky Peach, which is a totally new publication out of the David Chang Empire, is up for several awards. Dark Rye, which is a really cool blog that turns out, I'm not even sure anyone knew this, is funded by Whole Foods. And so they're coming, and it's a beautiful, cool thing. The Edible magazines were chosen as publication of the year a few years ago, which didn't exist, you know, when the Beard Award started. The idea that there would be a sort of local publishing world sort of niche just mm-hmm. was would have been unheard of. So yes, I think of all the categories, of all the different awards we do, journalism has probably been the most changed because of what's gone in the industry. And I think, I was saying in this conversation earlier that I think the fact that it isn't just the same magazines that we always see buying tables at the media awards is great. It really reflects the character of what's happening out there. And I think that's a good thing.
Wonderful. Mitchell, where can the general public who don't have the privilege of actually attending these galas, where can we find out about the winners when they're announced?
Sure. Well, we are live streaming the awards on Monday night in real time at jamesbeard.org. And it's going to be a great show, I'll say, because the theme this year is food in film, lights, camera, taste, and so we have a lot of Hollywood playing into it. Oliver Platt, the actor, whose brother happens to be Adam Platt, the restaurant critic, is hosting the awards, so that's going to be fun, and that's live. To find out the media awards and to sort of stay up to date, you can follow us on Twitter at Beard Foundation, which is our handle, and everything will be tweeted live, and we'll have lots of neat stuff and photos. Also on Instagram this year, the first time we'll be Instagramming some of the great food and scenes that happen at both events.
Very exciting. Well, I can't wait to hear and see what's in store and find out about the winners. Mitchell, thank you so much for joining us. This has been a special session of Heritage Radio Network's James Beard Awards coverage. I'm Mariana Cotlier. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks for listening to this program on heritageradionetwork.org. You can find all of our archived programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can email us questions at any time at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.